Marty in the Morning on RTE Lyric FM with Spry Finance. Keep living the life you love.
I've just played Take a Sexy Picture of Me by CMAT.
Okay.
Are you familiar with CMAT?
No.
No. Okay. No. Well, you will be.
Yeah, yeah.
I have Steve Pike with me, who has written. He has written it because it is a beautiful book. It's called Portraits of Irish Writers. They're the writers, obviously, but there's a very interesting introduction to the book, and I was just fascinated about the idea of somebody taking pictures and us talking about it on the radio, Steve. I know that sounds ridiculous. But you became a photographer in Dublin.
I did. Yeah. I became a photographer I know exactly when it was.
Yeah.
Because it's there's a photograph that proves it. It's like,
right.
It was of the Wall of Death at Funderland. At the RDS.
Good Lord.
And I was here in late 1979 to meet for the first time my in-laws then, Jackie and Campbell Bruce.
Okay.
Great people.
Yeah.
In Sandymount. And we walked up, me and my wife at the time, we walked up to the RDS. And somebody had given me a camera. At that time, I was in bands. I was a singer in bands. So it was kind of like, you know, That was my job. That
right.
was what I did.
Yeah,
you know?
This is 1980 now.
Yeah, it was just coming into early 1980, yeah. So Christmas 79, early 80 was, I went and I photographed all the chaos that there was at Funderland. You know what it's
That's
like.
That's right, it's
people
crazy.
Throwing balls, trying to not conquer husks and...
Yes, yeah.
And I went and I photographed the Wall of Death and this spinning machine that stuck people to the wall and the ghost rides and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And they were the first pictures that I photographed. So the first pictures really that I shot were here in Dublin. I photographed bands here. I photographed the prunes, the virgin prunes here at the project.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in fact, I was just looking at those the other day, sent some to Googie.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
What a gentleman he is.
He's great.
He is.
Yeah.
And he
remains
a real gentleman.
Yeah, him and Gavin, yeah.
Yeah, they're lovely people.
Yeah, they are.
So that was the beginning. But so you weren't trained.
No.
It was just, I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
Or you felt you had an eye, or presumably somebody else said, hang on a second, this could be a gig.
I had no idea.
No idea.
Good idea. No education. The education I had in photography, my mum, I was born in Leicester.
Yes.
And working class family, and went to secondary modern. But my mum had a subscription to Life magazine.
Oh, they were the greatest.
Which was the greatest photographers.
Correct.
Were Philip Didge, all those people. Cartier-Bresson even worked for Life magazine.
Yeah.
And later on I did, which was really amazing when that happened to me.
Because
it was none of this was planned.
Right.
You know, my life in some ways was had been kind of worked out, mapped out before me. I went to secondary modern. I didn't get the greatest education, and I left early.
Right.
And I went to work in motorcycle shops because I wanted to be a motorcycle racer, and that didn't work out. But I became punk happened, and that was a massive thing for me because it kind of redefined what I was capable of doing. It made me realise, and my generation, the people that were involved in it, lucky enough that were involved in the whole punk thing that happened in 77, 76, 77, was it made you realise that what was kind of preordained, predestined for you, you didn't have to do.
Because
I was supposed to work in a factory.
Yeah.
And if I got enough O-levels or CSEs, I could work in the office of the factory.
Yeah, so you could rebel. Yeah, but punk meant you could rebel.
You could be a different person. Which is a very important thing for young people to do.
Now, the book is called, tell us, the name of the book is?
Scribendi.
Scribendi meaning?
Scribendi means the uncontrollable urge to write in Latin.
Right.
And I got that from... last Christmas, we go and spend our Christmases, me and Nick, my wife, and the two dogs, Beauregard and Kingston. Let's not forget them.
Beauregard and Kingston.
Yeah, we go and spend our Christmases up in Cape Cod.
Oh, lovely.
And so we drive up from New Orleans, which is, you know, like 2 days' drive.
That's home.
Yeah, New Orleans is home,
yeah.
And when I was there, I was reading William Golding's book, Rites of Passage.
Yes.
I happened to be picking it up. I'm a manic reader.
Sure.
Since childhood, really.
Okay.
And I was looking for a title for this book, and I saw this word came out, and I wanted a one-word title, something... You know, I didn't want something that was going to, you know, like a... I didn't want a long, detailed title. I wanted a one-word title. And I got Scribendi. And it came straight out of the page at me. And so I borrowed that off William Golding.
When I saw it, I thought it was Italian. Scribendi.
It's got that ring to it.
It does, yeah. Italian shouting at you down the road. Can I ask you what brought you to New Orleans?
Well, first of all, music. My dad was played traditional New Orleans jazz. My godfather was a guy called Ken Collier who introduced New Orleans jazz to Europe.
The idea of the portraits of Irish writers. Mm-hmm. Now I've looked at the list you have, people you photographed. It's astonishing. You've philosophers, astronauts. It's just amazing. How is it that you decided on portraits of Irish writers? Why this?
Well, I think that. I think photographers are kind of magpies in lots of ways. You know, they're collectors. Yeah. They by nature, they're collectors. They collect photographs. They collect images of people. And since the very beginnings of my photography, when I began here in Ireland, I've photographed collections, astronauts, men that went to the moon. That's what I wanted to meet. Well, I wanted to meet the people that had walked on the moon.
Yeah.
And there were only ever 12 of them. So I was able to get access to go and photograph them.
Every one of them?
No, because 4 were dead, so I didn't meet all of them.
Okay.
But a film was made of it as well, film called Moonbug, of me travelling. Yes. It's like a road movie of me going and meeting all these guys, and that's out there somewhere. But I photographed collections of World War I veterans, people who had seen the Somme and Passchendaele, because when I was growing up, those guys used to, you know, they were the people that ran the vegetable shops and the hair. The guy that used to cut my hair had been at Passchendaele in the Ypres. So... in Leicester.
Yeah.
So all of these collections have an impact. I was a massive fan of the Apollo program. I was, when Neil and Buzz walked on the moon, I was 11 years old.
Yeah.
So, you know, it had a massive impact on me.
Right.
And so literature has been a huge thing for me. We were talking earlier, I felt that my life was called, well, as a kid, you know, I didn't understand why I was, I didn't really fit anywhere. So it made the whole process of being a rebel very easy.
Right, of course. Yes.
So when I was young, I used to read all the time because it used to put me into worlds that I wasn't living in. Now, I don't know if I was particularly unhappy where I was living, but I just didn't fit.
Right, so...
And so I always read. I read, like, vociferously all the time. And when it came to me being a photographer, I switched being a singer and picked up a camera and realised that I had a gift to be able to make images, particularly close-up of people, I started to photograph portraits of writers because it came naturally that I'd want to... When you read the book, the ability to be able to go and meet somebody...
Yes.
...and know more about that person...
Yes.
...and that, you know, it may be in lots of ways interview them, which
That's
is
right.
what I
and,
do.
Yeah, and spend time with someone that you would have a great lot of time for.
Mm-hmm.
And I was fascinated to read that when you photograph people, yes, they pose all that, but you chat away to them as you're taking pictures.
Very like what we're doing now.
But just like you and I. So therefore, what you're doing is you're having the chat, making them more natural for your photographs.
Yeah.
It's...
A portrait. A portrait is a record of a conversation with somebody. As far as I'm concerned, I have when I meet somebody, I usually ask for an hour because no one wants to be in a photo session for longer than an hour. You know, I mean, the sitter or the photographer, really.
That's right. And you know when you have it.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
So I photograph very, very little. I photograph analog, so I'm, you know, like a play records.
All right, okay.
I photograph with film, so I have a camera, which was the first camera I started to photograph with properly, portraits, which is a 1957 Rolleiflex twin lens camera. It's one of these that you used to look at.
Oh, I remember
like
them with the mirror.
Yeah, that's right.
I remember them.
Yeah.
My dad had one of those.
Yeah, yeah. My dad had one as well. Yeah. And so I photographed with that, and yeah. I photographed one roll of film, which is 12 frames. So, you know, we live in an age now of digital cameras and,
yes.
you know,
yes,
people are photographing.
And we all have phones and all that.
Yeah, and phones. So everybody photographs now.
Yeah.
But what I photograph is 12 frames. So for this book, I photograph 12 pictures on black and white and 6 frames of colour. And the colour I was shooting was... well, not to get too technical, but I call it, it's not really the correct name for it, but I call it dead stock. And what it is it's stock, 35mm, I shoot it with my Leica, and it's 35mm film that's out of date, sometimes as much as 20 years.
Why do you do that?
So the reason that I did this, it was a practice that I did just for this book, really, because yeah. I didn't want to be... I was photographing... A lot of people know my work as black and white and close-up, and I didn't yes. want to just photograph that. I wanted to photograph environmental and environmental pictures.
Sure.
And pictures of the writers at home a lot of the time.
Yes, I noticed that.
And I wanted to photograph the colour film, and I didn't want... I wanted there to be some element of risk in it.
Yeah.
And because, you know, a lot of time now, I think the world's very risk-averse.
Yes.
And this is no big thing, but it includes what the colour... does is it kind of saturates and it blows out, and I have no control over it.
Okay.
So the 6 frames that I get back in colour are a surprise. It's like what you used to get when you put your film at Boots and you got your snaps back and you looked at them, you didn't really know what you were going to get. And that's the delight for me.
Oh, that's interesting.
What you look at when you yeah. when you first develop the film, when you get them back from the developers.
It is a beautiful book. It is
Thank
an absolute. No, it is. It's an absolutely beautiful book. And then the fact that you got to meet these people and have conversations with these very fine writers. And I mean, there are people in here I don't know, but obviously there are people like Sebastian Barry, Joseph O'Connor. There are people in here, Liz Nugent. These are fantastic writers. But I do like there was a picture of Iris Murdoch in Oxford.
Yeah,
that's a gorgeous photograph.
Yeah, that's a picture. The picture of Iris is one that we found at the bottom of a neg bag about 3 or 4 months ago.
It's a gorgeous.
It was an unknown picture. Yeah, yeah, shot on Kodachrome.
Yeah. And she was some character. Listen, well, have your coffee. I know you're bursting for your coffee. Did you mention Jimmy Webb and Glenn Campbell and Wichita Lineman?
I did. Yes.
Well, here it is.
Of mine.
Thank you.
Now, I'm chatting away this morning with Steve Pike. Stay where you are and take your time. Steve Pike on his book, Scribendi, Portraits of Irish Writers, 1985 to 2025. And you can see the exhibition currently at the Photo Museum Ireland at Meeting House Square in Dublin. Now, you're going to hate me for doing this, but I found this shot list, right? This is a shot list of people.
That'll be some
it
of them.
It is astonishing, this list. These are all people that you have photographed.
Oh, yeah.
And you got to photograph Paul McCartney.
I did, yeah.
Sorry to bring it up.
No, that's all right.
As a super fan, I cannot have you here.
I'm a massive fan as well.
Massive fan of Paul McCartney. He's
a lovely guy.
Is he okay?
Yeah, he's lovely, lovely. You've not interviewed him?
Never. It's been my dream, and I've never got close.
Yeah, I'm sure if you got through to his right people, he's a very, very nice guy.
I think I'm getting through to the wrong people. You know? I know this chap in New Orleans who might be able to help me. Is he, was he as nice as I'd like to believe?
Well, what happened with Paul was I was asked to photograph him by Linda, his wife at the time.
A photographer too?
She's a photographer, yeah. We knew each other through seeing each other at shows in London and when I used to live in London.
Yeah.
And I'd photographed at that time a collection of portraits of Western analytical philosophers. Now,
that was
published as two volumes, and I just used the title Philosophers because it's nice and easy.
Nice.
And I started photographing those in the late 80s. And she wanted me, Linda, wanted me to photograph Paul as a philosopher.
Oh.
So really, she wanted some close studies of Paul. So she commissioned it, and those photographs, I photographed him in London and down in the country as well. So this would have been about 95, something like that. But it's very funny. When I was photographing him, I'm looking down into my camera, you know, in that old camera I've got, the Rolleiflex. And I said to him, "Oh, I'm looking into it," and he's so familiar.
Yeah.
When you look at his face in the ground glass screen, and it's close, and it's like he's somebody that, you know, as a kid, you know, I remember Yellow Submarine coming out. You know, we used to hum it and sing it.
Yes.
When I was a kid on holiday in Bournemouth, I remember it came out then, so that'd be about 64, 65.
Yeah.
And so he's so familiar in my culture and of how I've been brought up. He's integral.
Yeah.
The Beatles were integral to my life, you know.
Yeah.
They wrote the soundtrack of my childhood.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when I saw him and saw him through the screen, I said, "Oh, it's like I've been here before, like seeing this picture, seeing your face on my ground glass screen here, Paul."
Lovely.
And he's like, "Oh, no, no one's ever photographed me like this before." I think he misunderstood what I was saying,
yes,
you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But this is someone who's photographed so much over his life, you know. I mean, even his brother, Mike McCartney.
Yes, Mike McGear, as he called himself.
Yeah, was a photographer, you know.
Oh, that's right, I'd forgotten that.
A great colour picture.
And a member of Scaffold. Do you remember Scaffold?
Yeah.
We're like two elf fellas in a pub, the two of us here today. Yeah. I often felt that if I got to interview Paul McCartney, that I would be speechless for a good 10 minutes before it started, you know, that I wouldn't know what to say to him. Because I think... And you're a music head, so therefore you also would have
I live
had,
and breathe music.
Yes, so you would have had a moment, I have no doubt, when you were meeting him, I presume.
I think that what happens when I'm... So you've got a long list of people that I photographed there.
Astonishing.
And something that happens with me when I meet people, I don't really... It's not that I become some... You know, it's still me, Steve Pike. I'm talking to them and part of a conversation, as I said earlier, that reveals the portrait that I make.
Mm.
But... You know, it's integral. The conversation with someone is as important as taking the picture. For me, sometimes it's more important to do this, what we're doing.
Because
now.
You're getting an impression of...
Yeah, yeah. But the being overawed by people is not why I'm in that room.
It's not.
If I'm feeling nervous, then the person's going to feel nervous as well. So, you know, on a very simple way, in a way, I don't allow myself to be nervous.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
I think of only a few people in my life that I was a little overawed by.
There you are, sir.
And Paul McCartney may have been one.
Oh, doesn't he? He has.
And one of the earliest, this is very funny because conversations are cyclical. One of the people, John Lydon, was very, very important for me because he was a figurehead of punk.
Yes.
And punk was... punk for me defined how I moved from one place that in my life where
into
I was things were sort of preordained to happen to me,
yeah.
Where I became more in control of my life.
Mm.
So that was one. And another person that really that I was a bit overawed by was Sophia Loren.
Well, that doesn't come as a shock to me. That doesn't come as a shock to me.
She's a little older than me, but...
We saw her. We were at the opera in Verona, and she was there. And my friend and colleague, Ian, who's outside the glass, got quite close to her. We were just... I was further back, cheaper seats, you know.
Oh.
But I have to tell you, the fact that she was in the building... Now, this is an open-air place holding 10,000, 15,000 people. It didn't matter. The fact that she was in the room at all. But to get close to her, that must have been something.
I've got an amazing... little story. It was Ian looking at me now.
He's looking at you.
I went to photograph her in Florence at the Hotel Ambassador and it's an old hotel.
You've had an awful life, haven't you?
It's an interesting life.
Oh, my Lord above me. Yeah.
And
okay, you're in the ambassador.
Very strange things happened in this hotel. A very beautiful place, all marble, and she came in and. I was waiting for her in the foyer. I had time for it. She came in, and what happened when she came into the hotel foyer is like everybody in the foyer started clapping.
Right.
And I thought, what's happened? I didn't know that she'd arrived. And then she came through. They sort of parted like a sea, and she came through, and she was introduced to me.
Yeah.
And I said to her, "Does that happen to you all the time?" And she said, "Oh, of course. I'm the Queen of Italy."
Which, of course, she is.
She is, yeah.
She is,
and she has such a presence.
Yes.
It's like, it's difficult to believe that that Sophia Loren is in front of you.
Yes, yeah.
So it doesn't happen very often.
She's also has been acclaimed, as you know.
But she's one of the most beautiful
women ever to walk the earth.
Yeah.
Peter
Sellers had a complete fascination with her.
He did for sure. Did you film? You photographed him? Did you film?
Not that Peter Sellers. I photographed the theatre director.
I thought it was him.
I'd have loved to have photographed Peter Sellers.
Quentin Crisp, you photographed.
Yeah,
the great Quentin Crisp.
Yeah. The East Side, in his home that he had. Photographed him. So that's a commission that I just did myself. Sometimes you can't wait for people to say, "Steve, can you go and photograph?"
I know. So you do it yourself.
So I go and photograph them myself.
I'm just looking at this, and Philip Seymour Hoffman, the great tragic.
Yeah. I photographed him for the New Yorker when I was working.
Yeah, you worked for New Yorker for a while too.
I worked for them I was on staff for 15 years.
Yeah.
You
also got to take a picture of one of my great television heroes.
Mm.
And we're weaving all sorts of mad pictures out at this stage. Bob Monkhouse.
Oh, yeah, I did.
Who wrote 3 or 4 books,
mm-hmm.
really interesting books about the business and about whatever. I liked him. Now, I know some people thought he was smarmy. I didn't. I happened to like him.
Oh, no, he's a lovely guy.
He was a lovely guy.
And he was a link to me.
Very talented.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Super talented.
Yeah. Well, we always think about him with game shows.
That's right, I know.
But he was in Carry On movies.
He was, that's right.
And the Carry On movies, I mean, I love movies.
Yeah.
Books and movies. And the Carry On movies for me when I was growing up were huge. You know, Sid James, Barbara Windsor,
right.
Hattie Jake, all those
people.
Kenneth Williams is somebody that I was going to just come to it. Kenneth Williams is somebody that I never got to meet. Or photographing. Kenneth Williams is like such an interesting guy. I've even read about him afterwards. He's such an interesting guy because he's not what we understand. You know, a lot of him is very flippant when you look at him.
He's
a much, much more complicated character.
Did you read his autobiography?
I didn't meet him.
No, did you read his autobiography?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, it's a wonderful book.
It's a great book. And then Acid Drops.
Yeah.
It was another book that he did. Yeah, he was amazing. I loved him to bits. You're fascinating. I could be here for hours. I'm really enjoying the conversation, but I'm going to have to let you go because other people will want to talk to you. You photographed. Is that Stephen Ray or Stephen Ray?
Yeah, Stephen,
he's something else.
He was in a film version of a book that I made with a writer called Timothy O'Grady called I Could Read the Sky. So I must plug this.
Yes.
I Could Read the Sky has been out in continuous. It's a book about the experience of the emigre, and it's based here, and it's about, it really deals with my Irish with the work that I photographed in Ireland in the 80s. So really, in a lot of ways, it's about an island that doesn't, rural island that doesn't exist, you know, before digital, before there was any satellite TV even, you know, when people used to talk in bars. So it's, I Could Read the Sky came out in originally in 1997, and it's been in continuous print for 25 years.
Wow.
So it was republished just recently, and it's about to be republished again. I think it's its seventh publisher is iBooks. So that's going to be available from, I think copies of that are available from Photo Museum Ireland as well on Thursday.
That sounds amazing. Well, now listen, just to let people know again, this book is Portraits of Irish Writers, 1985 to 2025. It's Leopold Press. It's a beautiful book. Congratulations, Steve, and thank you for coming in to talk to us today.
Thank you.
And a reminder, until the 2nd of November at the Photo Museum Ireland Meeting House Square, you can see the exhibition of your work. We better finish on Paul McCartney, I think. Would you have a favourite? Is it the Beatles or is it a
Paul McCartney? Blackbird.
Oh, Blackbird. Isn't that something? There's a great story about him singing that to fans outside the window of his house in Cavendish Road, where he lives. Years and years ago, obviously, where he opened the window and he sang it to people. Isn't that lovely?
Yeah, it's beautiful, yeah. Well, he's a giver.
Yeah, and you're going to give me his address, I know that. Steve Pike, you're a gentleman. Take care.
Great, nice to meet you, Matthew.
A real pleasure.
Bye now.